Another year, another BlizzCon, so much news, all in its first day. It's crazy. We're going to be talking about all of the Blizzard updates for the rest of the year and moving on to 2018, as well as a couple of the other biggest stories of the week. Right now, an inventory full, it's time to unload.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, new, and interview. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
So I was trying to get some of the vanilla Warcraft music, yeah. But so I had to pick the movie because it was a lot more dynamic, a lot faster.
I kind of love it.
Yeah, man. That's true. I guess. Yeah.
Inside baseball, we don't know what he's picking from music when it shows up. It just starts, and we kind of always like, yeah, all right,
good,
yeah. Okay.
If I didn't see what it was, I wouldn't know that this was from Warcraft.
Yeah. Oh, I mean. It's basic. Basic war music.
Yes. Like basic, I want to stab a fool right now.
And you should.
I know.
It's your God-given right.
That's right.
I try to pretend that movie didn't happen.
Is it? Hold on. Let's dial it back a little bit.
I
wish I could be here for that.
Welcome to Inventory Full here on the Popcorn Talk Network and on Twitch. We are live at twitch.tv/inventoryfullpt. Make sure you give us a follow because we stream games too. I'm one of your hosts, it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. This is Nate Miller.
I'm Nate Miller. What's up, nerds? You can find me on social media at DogLikeNate.
That's Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hi, guys. I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles.
And that is Patrick to the D's.
True story. You can find me at P to the D's. I was waiting for the What's Up, Nerds. I was like on edge, and you went with it. I'm so glad. Please stick with that.
You got a consistency.
Yeah, I kind of love it. Also, you can find me at Truly Slide on your console of choice, so hit me up.
What's Up, Nerds? Going to be our first shirt. Anyway, yes. You can find all of us on Twitter as well, at InventoryFullPT. We're on all of the social media, so please find us. Let's talk a little bit about what we've been playing before we get into the news. Man, Mario Odyssey. Last week, I mentioned how it was tied for my favorite Mario game.
Yes, you did.
It has since dropped down to number 2.
Oh, has it?
Yes,
what
it has.
What dropped it?
We're kind of getting to news too, but Mario Odyssey is the fastest selling Mario game since Super Mario Brothers Wii,
yes,
with 1.1 million units in the United States alone,
yep,
within 5 days. That's amazing. Now, this isn't spoilery because it's on every gaming site out there on the interweb. There are 999 moons that you can get.
Yep.
And some of those include time trial stuff. There is an achievement system that rewards you with moons. So you have to finish stuff, and then you get a moon for finishing it. And then you go to Toadette, who is at Peach's Castle, and she goes, hey, you did it. Here's another one.
All right.
And it's just a lot of, hey, here's a bunch of moons.
Stacks
and,
on stacks.
If it would lead to any sort of a like game changer or reward, like how in Infamous Second Son, this is a random reference, you get the final powers that you get are after you beat the game,
yep,
and then you just sort of roam around with your last new power.
Yes.
This isn't that at all.
No.
It's essentially an old school Nintendo, thank you for playing, and I don't like that. If I'm going to be spending this time, give me a little bit something. Again, because my favorite game being Mario Galaxy, you got 120 stars, you unlocked the ability to play as Luigi for the entire game, and it changed the experience.
Oh, interesting. Right. So the challenge of getting to the 999 in and of itself wasn't enough, right? You wanted
it's not enough for me. Okay. Right now I'm sitting at about 400 and something moons.
Get out of
here. And I'm probably not
400 moons.
Right?
Get out of here.
I'm hashtag scrub.
I'm at zero moons.
Yeah. So I played it only a little bit over the weekend, and I don't. Right now I want to play it until I don't want to pick up my Switch anymore. That's when I'll get new Switch games.
Okay.
So I want to play it until it's at its natural conclusion with me. But still an amazing game. Still a great game. But Hey, Nate, have you played anything other than Destiny 2?
Nope. I almost played some PUBG.
Okay.
And I didn't, and I opened up Hearthstone, but then I closed it, and I just played Destiny.
Man.
So check in with us. What's your power level? What are you doing these
287.
days? 287.
All right. I'm leveling my Warlock to 20, so I've got another person to run stuff through with some of my people that are lower level.
You doing Nightfalls? What are you?
Yeah, I have I have a friend that I've been running him with, and another friend that has, you know, she's got a baby, so she's busy.
Yeah,
can't run as much.
Can imagine
a little busy.
Running through most of the content with that.
Baby's the third, then in the fire team.
Right, we're working on it.
Okay,
for Destiny 3. For
babies
Destiny 3.
Always have the worst power level.
It's a 10-year game plan. You
got
know?
It.
So we're getting invested.
Get them in now.
We're getting
totally.
A dynasty.
Not yes.
Start
right
now.
I like it.
Destiny.
Yeah. Dynasty. So I've got a good foundation to find people from. I've been using the Discord from the Destiny subreddit.
Oh, cool.
LFGs,
yeah.
And we actually put together a group on Wednesday when the raid came out to do the raid, and did 3 out of 4 encounters
nice.
In like 3 hours on our first try. The thing is, we went in pseudo blind, except this one guy had done it on console, so
right.
he kind of knew what to do. But we got to guess for a lot of things, and then when we got frustrated, he was like, well, what about that thing? It's like, oh. But it was really
That's
fun.
Cool.
And even then, like, even once you know what to do, you still have to do
of
it.
Of course.
Right. But yeah, it was really fun. It was good. It was very, very fun. I feel like it was almost too short, but I don't know if that's just because we had a good group. You know, my buddy just told me that he tried to get another group to run one of his alts through, and it just like completely fell apart.
Yeah.
So I know we got lucky, but man, it was awesome. We did Kalos the next day. Is very fun.
That's pretty rad. I love that he just let you go and then like prodded you along in the event that you guys couldn't find the solution. It's kind of like the perfect way to do it, I think. I'd want somebody there like locked and loaded with the solution if we're just like banging our head against the wall and like rage quitting, breaking controllers.
Yeah, because I wanted to go in blind because that's a lot of the fun is trying to figure it out and stuff, because we're going to be grinding it anyways.
Yeah, totally.
A bunch of max out stuff, so we're going to do it over and over again. But it was the perfect amount of here's what to do without like just getting completely frustrated. Except for the Kalos fight, I just watched a video for, because we stepped in there once and we kind of went through it, and I was like, what on earth? I don't know. And the thing with that one is everybody has to do their job perfectly or else you can't.
You could still hit one of the like speed bumps.
If somebody gets sucked in, you're done. Somebody dies on the outside and doesn't get revived, you're done.
It sounds very stressful to me.
Stressful.
10 out of 10 times, that's
it.
Me.
Is, but it's so rewarding when you finally get it down. When they're like, and the loot pops out, it's like, yes.
How was the loot stitch? Did you get some good stuff?
I mean, I got what I wanted, but it's definitely less satisfying getting tokens and and like the end chest is already open for you. It's like little things like that, you know. Like I want to be able to open the chest and see the stuff shoot out, and like celebrate and stuff.
100%.
Don't want to, you know, just walk in and have the stuff just already be there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Speaking of sadness, Patrick and Stacey, have either of you been playing more Wolfenstein 2?
Stacey,
I haven't picked it up this week.
Oh, just Assassin's Creed.
I've been playing. I know. I've been playing Assassin's Creed, and I've been playing Overwatch, and I started playing Hearthstone. And
that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that when we talk about those kind of stuff.
But no, I haven't.
Well, so what's with Assassin's Creed? Like, what's had you coming back to it?
I'm still in that open world. I'm not actually doing any quests. I'm just running around in the desert and fighting crocodiles.
It was the most Stacey thing you could say.
And I mean, bless Robbie, he sits there behind me. Are you going to do the main quest now? Are you going to do the main quest? Yeah, I'm going to do the main quest. I start running towards the main quest. I get distracted by six other side quests. So I have seen quite a bit of that land. I have wandered into quite a few areas that I do not belong yet.
Sure.
But it's kind of just that very casual freedom of just, all right, I'm going to unwind and I'm going to do some stupid things in this game and run around for a few hours. And that's been occupying.
It's a real life simulator. Oh yeah. No, just go ahead. We're just going to talk over it. Yeah, it's just B-roll. It's not. I don't even think it's you doing anything specific.
Probably not.
It's just running around on the beach.
Oh yeah, this is. I think I was talking to all the beachgoers as I was doing that. This is kind of just what happened.
Just disturbing everybody on their wonderful beach vacation.
The game looks so good.
I just
it's gorgeous.
Fall over things. I wanted to go in the water because it was so pretty.
Is this on PS4?
Yeah. What are you playing this on?
PS4.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm really just running around. I try to collect all the pots and.
It's not working.
I don't know. It's...
Yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't look like an Assassin's Creed game.
No, it doesn't. It's gorgeous. Is this on a Pro? Or this is on
this is on just PS4.
PS4?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good-looking game.
Yeah.
It is a very nice-looking game. And, yeah, part of me getting distracted constantly is just getting distracted by a really pretty patch of land over in the distance. And I'm like, I need to go stand on that. And I go stand on
it.
I like how you run up, like, and climb the hills and then go to the road after
you've believe in roads in games, which is really frustrating with the horses. They're not very good at jumping over things.
The Doc Brown method.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
1.21
gigawatts. I'm gonna say we don't need roads, but that's okay.
And like most of us just want to yell gigawatts. Looking around at everything.
Yep. Uh huh.
Is that a
it's a little panda bear mask? What do you
It is. So I did a festival, and I was that was for the Temple of Serapis, I believe.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
And he's so back, everybody.
All right, no more.
I kind of like
it. It's a thing I picked up.
I'm kidding. Great. I'm kidding.
You look adorable.
We have a request to be told about the cheetah.
Oh, yeah. So, and there was a clip made of this too, unfortunately. But so I don't like fighting the cheetahs because we're friends. I'm friends with the cheetahs.
With the cheetahs.
Sure. So the cheetahs know that they're friends with you.
The cheetahs do not know that we're friends. But we end up being friends after. So the cheetahs will run away after you hit them a certain amount of times. Mm. I was trying to pet the cow. It did not work.
Ran right into.
I was trying to pet it.
Is there a pet animal button?
Only cats. And only cats. If you walk up to cats, he automatically starts petting them. Fantastic. It's wonderful.
So that's why you just ran right
into
it.
So I ran right into
the cow.
Let me pet you.
So if you hit the cheetahs down, to see, he won't jump over walls like that. It's very disappointing.
Oh, Roach would be so disappointed.
So I beat this cheetah down to like its lowest house, so it ran away from me, and we were friends, and everything was fine. And then I went to go take out a fort, a post, and there were a lot more of them than I expected.
Great.
So I ran away, and I ran back into the cheetah, and we were supposed to be friends.
And he'd forgotten that fact.
We were not friends.
Got him.
Well, so, you can find that clip. Wait, who made the did you make the clip or?
It was made on our, on the Twitch channel.
So please, go check out that clip and watch the terrifying...
It's a lot of me screaming traitor and running in circles. You know, I don't know what else to tell you.
Jesus. You loving the game, though?
I really am. It's a lot of fun.
I really want to play.
Like, even all the plot stuff that I've done has been really amazing. I just like getting distracted a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in next week. I think I'm excited.
It's a lot of fun.
Patrick, what have you been playing?
I'm saving that one for the Xbox One X, which shows up tomorrow. I'm still grinding away at Wolfenstein. I've been traveling a little bit, so but I am further in this game. And it's a challenge for me to talk about just because it's such a narrative-driven experience. I genuinely don't want spoilers, but here's what I'm going to posit. I think that would be a fascinating game to do a spoiler cast with you guys, because I think I'm going to go beyond this game as like riveting or interesting. I think this game is important. And there is some stuff that happens. I know I lost my mind at the beginning of the game, the first kind of third, about some stuff that happened, which I thought was very brave. Some stuff happens further in this game where I'll go out and say that I think Blazkowicz is one of the best written video game characters in gaming.
Wow.
And something happens kind of midway through that fundamentally changes the scope of the game. And I think the game's incredible. I think it is on my very short list for Game of the Year. And I can't say that for the moment to moment because I think... The game's really fucking hard. Game's very hard. It's one of those things where like I'm enjoying the gameplay, but I can't wait to get to the cutscene and see that next to move everything forward. You know, and then they've got that Normandy, that like type Mass Effect area, this hub area where you can go check in with all your crewmates, and I'm really looking forward to all that. So a little bit literally I put the controller down and just went, I've been thinking about it for like 24 straight hours. I can't believe this thing did in the middle of the game. So I'm just past that moment. You guys will know what I'm talking about when you get there. I guarantee it. So I'm a little past halfway, I think, at this.
And how many hours in are you? Do you know?
Taking my damn time. I'm probably 10 hours in.
Okay.
I bet you could get there faster. I mean, like, you know, I do the thing like in the hub world where I'm standing waiting to hear all of these conversations. But it's this thing, like, I think this game is just really important. It handles a lot of very ugly subject matter with a very deft approach, right? Like, I think it's easy to blow through this and handle it in kind of a gross way, or it's unbelievable. And then also has those moments of levity that you need when things are just unmitigated sadness and hopelessness. Mm-hmm. There's these great, like, little beats. The game's unbelievable. I can't get over it.
And I'll ask again, I think I asked this last week, but I'll ask it again. How important is playing the first game? Do they have any sort of a previously on Wolfenstein?
They do. It's the first, like, 10 minutes. The one thing that is kind of important, which I think we can give you kind of like a briefing as to what... So in the very beginning, I spoke about this when we talked about this, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. At the beginning of Wolfenstein, the last one, you make a choice.
Yeah, you make a choice and it stays with you the entire time.
This, they revisit that and go, by the way, which choice did you make? Uh-huh. And so without that context, you're like, I don't know what... That would be the only thing that you would need to know, but... Mm. Happy to tell you, like, again, it's age versus youth. It's experience versus kind of youth. I picked Fergus, or no, not Fergus, Wyatt, who's the younger dude. So that means in the last game, I kind of got the Jimi Hendrix playthrough. Doesn't show up if you choose the other guy. But it's always really, that's the one thing that I think. But you can pick this up. It's incredibly accessible, and it's this whole other storyline.
Cool. That's good to know. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of that sweet news. Yeah. Something else that I added, because it happened about 5 minutes before everybody showed up. That one. So Media Molecule announced that they're going to be bringing Project Dreams to the PlayStation experience this year. Mm-hmm. And they released this little video, which looks like it's going to have something to do with VR, because that looked like motion control.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. Either way, Project Dreams, which nobody had any idea what gameplay implementations were going to be or how anything worked. It looks like it's at least maybe even playable, because they're giving all of the dates, not just the date of the conference.
Great. Right. Which is good, because did you see their press release after the Paris Games Week? They're like, look, we are going to show it this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I think everybody was like, where was that? Like, it's announced forever ago. Media Molecule's been silent. So anyway, I'm glad they got out ahead of it.
You don't know what that is? They announced it with PlayStation VR a couple of years ago. Okay.
And before that, at the launch of the VR, PlayStation 4. They said, hey, development for fucking 4 mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah, so that's why Little Big Planet 3 was handed off to Sony London, I think. And then Media Molecule has been working on this the entire time. But that's cool. Anyway, moving on. PlayStation trophies can now earn you store credit. There's been the PlayStation Rewards, which I've been signed up to, but originally it was just tied to, like, media. So, like, subscribing to 3 PSN services gets you 500 points. Mm. A trial to 4 PSN services gets you 15% off of the PS Store. Rent 3 movies from the PlayStation Store on your PlayStation 4 console and earn 250 points. And then if you register discs to the thing, you get a free movie. But now, and what sucks is it's not retroactive. You can't activate these quests, and then it goes, oh, you've earned this many trophies. Here are points. It is from this moment on.
Oh, got it. Yep.
If you earn 100 silver trophies, you get 100 points, or 25 gold trophies for 250 points, or platinum trophies are 10 platinum trophies for 1,000 points.
Sounds like a Chuck E. Cheese. It's just spitting out tickets.
Well, it kind of, but if you like... right now, it looks like you can only do each of these quests, I'll call them, once. And, like, the average thing is, like, 7,000 points. So it's not great, but it's a start.
Yeah, it's something, mm-hmm. right?
It's cool, I guess. Mm-hmm. Moving on. We already talked about Super Mario, so we're going to skip that one. We don't have an asset for this, so don't freak out, Steve. GameStop is bringing out something called the Power Pass, which for $60 over a 6-month period, you will be able to rent an unlimited amount of pre-owned games. So it's all right, people, and as a former GameStop employee, people ask us, hey, do you guys rent? And we say, no, but I would tell them, I mean, you get a 7-day trial of a pre-owned game, so technically it's just really expensive. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an amazing idea, because not only is it just, hey, unlimited renting, at the end of the 6-month period, you get to keep one of the games that you rented.
Yep.
And pre-owned brand new games are $60 anyway, so you're just paying for a new game after 6 months. Even if it's just, hey, I'm going to keep this game, beat it in 2 months, and then try another one, that's still worth it to me. What do y'all think?
I think it's genius. I think, like, they've needed something to mix up the model for a very long time, right? They've been slowly dying on the vine. I think everybody's been trying to figure out what the pivot was. And I don't think in and of itself this is going to generate much revenue. But what's exciting about this, if you're the GameStop guy, and I get a lot of shit for being, like, Captain Corporate America. But I like the fact that they're trying to find ways to get door swings, right? That's that metric where they're like, how do I get people back in the door, right? And then maybe when they're back in there picking up and swapping the game, they buy a chibi, like a Funko Pop something or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, so,
or they pre-order a game.
I think it's incredibly smart, and I think it's a pretty good value. Am I crazy? Like,
No, it is.
I feel like a lot of people want to take advantage of this. A lot of people want to be part of the conversation and play everything day one, but just can't because of funds, and I think this allows people to be in on that. I'm interested to see kind of what their inventory levels look like, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if Destiny 2 comes out tomorrow, like how readily available are those titles?
So that's the thing, and I can say this from experience, is there it definitely varies from store to store.
Sure.
But right. There are people who, like you said, have to buy everything day one,
yep.
And not every game will stick. We've had people come in the day after,
yeah.
with let's just say a Destiny 2, sure. or whatever, saying, I didn't like it, and then they trade it in,
yeah.
and then that's it. And then that's in the ecosystem. Like, you can find at least one copy of every Switch game. Some stores in the area, just because I've been looking, have like every physical copy of a Switch game available.
Did they restrict it by console? It's just literally everything.
Right now, the only other information that I didn't mention from the article is that you have to be a PowerUp Reward member, but there are free memberships.
Right.
And the only thing that you lose, you just have to give them your email address and you earn points.
email@email.com.
People freak out. No reply at GameStop.com.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is you have to be a PowerUp Reward member, but that's, I mean, you just get the free one, and this is an amazing deal.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. Within like 2 weeks, if you really want to play a game, you'll be able to find a couple of copies around.
Is that right?
Yeah. I will say, in our area, we're kind of stupid with how many GameStops are in an area,
sure.
even to the point where there's one across the street from another one,
yeah.
up in Northridge. But, like, yeah, we're lucky enough to have a lot of GameStop stores where, oh, I don't mind driving over there.
So did they announce in the program, so like, do I have to stick with, let's say I take a game out of GameStop A, do I need to return that game to GameStop A, or can I return it to GameStop B?
I would assume so. GameStop didn't announce this yet.
Oh, got it.
They confirmed it. An employee leaked it.
Right.
So an employee leaked the sheet with all of the talking points on it, which happens all the time. But GameStop confirmed that it's going to happen, and signups are going to start November 19th, which means that we'll probably get more information like the week before.
Sure.
But this will probably be a way.
Probably later this week.
Probably. There might be a drive for Black Friday to get people in, just because GameStop is usually one of the last places that people stop.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. But I'm probably going to do it.
Go pick up that used PUBG.
Used PUBG. I don't know. Are they doing physical copies for Xbox?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I know it's in a preview program and it gets a physical release.
Ark did.
And Ark's the only other one, right?
I think there was one other one that did.
That's incredible.
But that's
good for PUBG. Good for PUBG.
After the year they've had,
I know, totally.
Handful of physical copies.
So I'm about 80 to 90% going to do this, especially with my Switch. I think that regardless of if you have to stick to one GameStop, that's fine.
What would be the 10%? Like, what's your reservation? What's the trepidation?
Being able to afford it.
Oh, got it.
Just like day of, like, you have to pay by this date.
Oh, got it.
Can I do that? Christmas is coming up. Can
sure,
I afford
sure,
the
sure,
$60?
Sure. But you see value in it. You're
going, oh,
got it. Okay.
Yeah. And it's bad. I'm a bad person to ask, because I think that a lot of the GameStop, like, brass and up top they don't necessarily understand what the employees have to go through.
Right.
From being one myself. But I think some of the stuff that GameStop does impart and bring out into the gaming world is valuable.
Yeah.
And you can take advantage of it. People don't, like, I've seen people use GameStop as a bank, because there's no interest, there's no charge, there's no nothing. They just pre-order stuff and then pull out money when they need it. That ruins the store's numbers, but it's just like, whatever, GameStop bank.
Sure.
Nate, yeah, I know you're a big PC guy,
that's
but
a
does,
good idea.
But how does this how does this value
best.
Sound to you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have a console right now. I mean, I could use my roommate's PS4. It definitely sounds like a good idea. I'm a details guy, so I need to see their release and what the terms and conditions are,
sure.
and like what constitutes a pre-owned game, and how many weeks after the release do I have to wait to get it? Because
if it's pre-owned, it's pre-owned.
Just because they use that classification now, and them using that classification with their rental
for
service,
program,
I don't know if that's going to be
totally.
The same. Because
interesting.
I mean, even like Blockbuster, you had to wait like a couple days to like rent certain things. So I don't know if I don't I could see it going either way. I would just want to look at the details.
Just hearing Blockbuster got me all nostalgic. I smiled and I like show up and I'm like, what are we renting? You know those days where you didn't know what was going to be on the shelf? Like, what are we renting? And like, yeah, so like, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to take advantage of it. This isn't for me. I usually would prefer to pay not to go into a GameStop, but I love also, that it exists.
But you're a day one
digital
person.
Guy too. If I have to leave my house for anything, just fuck it. It's not worth it.
So I used to be like that though. I mean, every Halo 1, 2, and 3, I was there. Well, not Halo 1, but Halo 2 and 3 and
Me too.
4 and Reach. I was there at midnight with my Master Chief helmet.
I like that shit line. Too. I used to
and
do
that's
that.
Also, yeah, and it's like a community thing too, because then you know you get to talk smack to other people that you're going to crush later.
Yeah,
you know, I like
those
how you
days
turned
are
your head
gone
to me
for me though.
That.
I am super made eye contact right here.
You're going down.
Yeah. No, and I like also I kind of love that. Like Halo 3, I also got the
but
Master
it's the
Chief
same
helmet.
Thing. Like I would.
Those days are gone for me though. I don't want to go into a brick and mortar for anything. And this is not picking on GameStop, although it's a little picking on GameStop. Not the best experience usually when I go in there, but like thank God for Amazon, right? Like I don't want to leave. I travel enough that I don't want to leave my house when I'm in town. Like I just don't.
And
so
I totally
am a digital
that.
Guy.
Totally get that.
And I also don't want to swap discs in and out. So again, this isn't built for me, but I love that it exists. Like my brother is incredibly excited about
it. It would be weird. I would be upset if they went out of business and they shut them all down.
Yeah.
Even though I have almost no desire to go more often than not, just because I get everything, you know,
it's
said,
like a
online.
Comic book shop.
Yeah, my brother goes. He goes there to talk games, right? Mm-hmm. They become, the people who work there become like, he's like, oh, have you heard about this thing? Like, they're the people who he gets to talk games with. And it started hanging out with them outside of work, right? Yeah. Like, so I get the kind of community aspect. Not my speed, but I love that it exists. And I think it's a smart play for GameStop.
Well, I think also coming into the holiday season, you're going to have a lot of people trading in stuff that was hot over the summer.
Yep. Yeah.
And in
so
the
there
early
will
fall,
be. Yeah.
And
there's going to be stuff.
And then they'll people, the Christmas, break. Finishing games over break and then trading it in early in the year. So that first 6 months, you'll get a chance to catch up, which especially for me, it's hard. I mean, I haven't beaten damn Horizon Zero Dawn yet. So,
here's a question, though. Yeah. If this is a great deal and everybody starts doing this and nobody's buying the games to return them back as pre-owned, and
they're still getting the $60
drought,
bucks, and that's pure profit.
Right, but I'm saying the game selection suddenly, you know, they have a ton of pre-owned games now because your only option is to go in and buy the game. I played it. Okay, here, have it back. But if there's a better option of renting it, are people going to stop buying games as much and then bringing them back to be you get what
I'm concerned
saying?
That there's an inventory problem.
Yeah, I don't know how like it works now, but you know, a year down
still,
the line when
we still
more
don't have
people,
terms right now, right? They say that signups will exist for a limited amount of time, so it's not going to be something where you're going to walk in on like January 10th and say, hey, I want to do the rental thing. It's, hey, did you sign up for the rental thing? Sorry, that was our window.
So they're probably testing it now, trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Stacey, does this sound good to you?
You know what? Yeah, as someone who's kind of recently renewed a relationship with GameStop and actually started going in and found a store that I liked and people that I like talking to and buying physical games, this is actually a really good way for me to start playing games that I wouldn't otherwise normally buy.
Yeah,
because
totally.
Video games have always been to me, all right, I am committing to this game. I have a physical copy. This is mine. This is staying on my shelf. I was never the kind of person who would go and trade back my games after I was done with them. Mm-hmm. They were my games. I would revisit them when I wanted to have them to revisit them. But this is kind of like, all right, well, I wouldn't normally play that kind of game, but everyone's saying really good things about it. Everyone's talking about it. I want to be part of the conversation. I can try it out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then bring it back.
This is how I would try
else.
Persona 5.
I'm interested. Yeah, totally. And I wonder what devs are thinking about this, right? Like developers and publishers, because like I think there's some upside to like having you talk about Persona 5 and tweet about Persona 5 and get on here and talk a little bit about it, right? Like, and there's some buzz generated around that. So I like again, I know they've had a weird frenemy relationship, but they all need this brick and mortar distribution, but at the same time like GameStop's been looking for ways for forever to cut them out of the ecosystem. So, like, how I'd be interested to get some feedback from like people in that space to like how they're feeling about the model.
Agreed. The one thing I will say is that used sales is the only way that GameStop makes money.
Yeah,
they don't make any money off of new sales.
No.
So this is a way to get people to buy into the thing.
Yeah.
And if I wonder if having any sort of a membership will give you a discount on this too, because like you
Probably.
Can only be a power-up member. But they just introduced an elite level, which gives you an extra 10% off on everything. So what if it's $50 for elite members? Right. Then that makes you want to be an elite member. Either way, there's probably going to be a lot more news and official press release. We'll talk about that when that happens. Before we get to BlizzCon, I just want to remind everybody that you can go to Into the AM, which is a wonderful store. They got all sorts of fun gamer merch. There's like space stuff. It looks like galaxies. It's real cool. You go get yourself some merch. You use the code INVENTORY10 at checkout. That gets you 10% off. Head over to inventory. What?
10%.
10% off. Go to intotheam.com, get yourself some sweet merch, and use the code INVENTORY10 at checkout. 10% off. Thank you. Holy crap, BlizzCon was this past weekend. BlizzCon.
Oh.
Blizzard.
I didn't know.
The company Blizzard. I'll speed through this one real quick. StarCraft 2 is going free to play.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
That's pretty awesome. I haven't played any StarCraft 2. I played the OG StarCraft and just haven't had a minute to do it.
The campaign's real good.
I downloaded it.
Just
I haven't
don't
played
play
it yet.
Online.
Oh, you did? You pulled it down?
Yeah.
Nice.
I downloaded it already. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but in case you missed it, you'll be able to download Wings of Liberty without paying a cent, which gives you single and multiplayer for free. But if you already have Wings of Liberty, then you get Heart of the Swarm. Otherwise, you still have to buy that and Legacy of the Void.
Nice.
Did you not get Heart of the Swarm?
Nice Blizzard.
Yeah.
I didn't buy StarCraft 2.
Okay. Well, anyway. so that's fun. Next, we're going to watch... we're going to talk over a video about Hearthstone. Because we have one classic Hearthstone player and a brand new Hearthstone player in Stacy. The next expansion is called Kobolds and Catacombs. It releases next month, and it adds new cards as well as a new single-player mode called Dungeon Run. What was it, Stacey? Was it the fact that you got to hear Matt Mercer singing like an old jaunty Irish tune? What was it that made you go, you know what, Hearthstone?
That all helps. It's kind of one of those things that's been on the radar for a while, and I'm like, once I download it, it's over. Once I download it's downloading. I'm deleting Pokemon Go off my phone and downloading Hearthstone instead. This was a commitment, and it happened.
So explain to me how the single player works. Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't think anybody knows yet. I'm assuming it's just like how their single player campaigns have been before. Usually you're just playing against a boss opponent that has a special deck that or like a special hero power mechanic, and then you just have to figure out how to play around it. Have you played card games before? Is this your first?
This is really my first game? Very involved card game.
TCG?
Yes, and in a very long time also. So I would pretty much consider it my first.
Except Magic the Gathering. She was like a level 37. She was unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's no levels in Magic, Pat.
I mean, God damn it.
Just you're gold, ruining just our cover. God
damn it. Bamboozled again.
You just don't know about the levels. That's what a newbie is. I can't believe that's
fucking... I was top eight. Okay.
He's top
eight. That's a level.
Yeah, in my middle school.
Yeah.
Totally. Of my middle school division.
Yeah.
Magic the Gathering.
Oh, you're that Nate? That's Nate Dogg.
Did you? Did you buy any packs?
I have not bought any packs.
Yay!
I have not. They kind of keep throwing cards at me, so I'm like, I don't know.
But that doesn't last.
They gifted a classic pack to everybody, I think, to try to get them to download before. But I don't know. But
pack.
No, but that's the thing is, hey, here's free stuff. Download our game. That's a very.
That
works.
Right. No, it's good. Free stuff is nice.
Yeah, I agree.
And they threw packs at me for playing on a Samsung. They threw, you know, for downloading it and for playing on it. And
but they're
then...
classic packs. The base set is good because you need the cards anyways. But, like, this is a card set from, like 3 years ago now.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's the basic set, so it's always going to be in play. So they're good cards. There's some good cards to have in there. Mm. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's nice. Free stuff is good.
Yeah.
This is my biggest gripe with this game is it's so much money. And, like, at least with Magic the Gathering, you put money into the game and you own the cards.
Right.
Some of them might be valuable. You can sell them back for, like, quarters sometimes.
Yeah.
But you don't own any of this stuff.
Nope.
You're just giving them money for a random chance at a card that you need. I like the dust system because then you can craft cards that you need, but they change the value, so you get way less dust now.
Yep.
So
I think it's a lot more insidious, actually. So, like, I was thinking about that the other day when they were talking about, like, blind boxes and loot boxes, and I heard somebody make the comparison that, like, it's the same as, like, buying Topps baseball cards, right? Like, where you just buy Topps and it's, like, a random... And I'm like, absolutely bullshit, because, right, like, because Blizzard keeps keeps all detailed analytics on what you've spent and all of your buying habits, right? So it's like, imagine the guy like selling you, like was making the packs in the back based on like how you've been spending, yeah, and knows that you still want that Babe Ruth limited edition or whatever. So like, I think it's a lot more insidious, yeah, than that.
Of course. They can see the decks you play. They totally can see the heroes you play.
Yep, absolutely.
See what cards you don't have.
Yep. Yeah. Right. So anyway.
And it's the top spenders that end up getting everything anyway.
Yep.
That don't necessarily break that.
Sure.
But this game is, to their credit, it is very well balanced as far as an RNG-based card game can be.
And yeah.
And you don't necessarily win more by having all those cards.
No, sure. Mm-hmm. This game's insanely profitable. You know this? It's a team of 30 that work on this game.
Wow.
It's a card game.
I know, but it's a team of 30, right?
Like, how many people work on Gwent? Do you know?
I don't, but I know that like the way they had like 62
Gwent's
million
people. Like,
is it I could be wrong on this, so somebody fact check me in the chat. I think it's 62 million active Hearthstone players. For a team of 30 people built the game and I'm working on it, like, it's insane. Anyway, it's
because there are even people that aren't like Blizzard files,
right,
that just go, hey, I want to play a new card game,
yes,
on my phone.
Totally.
And they download Hearthstone.
And that's the other thing. It still has that Blizzard polish. The animations are great.
Yep.
It runs great on your phone. It's an actual game, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, it's free to play with some microtransactions, but it's not pay to win. And a lot of those card games are.
But also, even just Blizzard's entertainment division, seeing the trailer and the short that they put out a little while ago, the musical short, it's like, I want to be in this world more.
Yeah. They're really great with the community, too.
Yeah.
Have you played Gwent? Is that why you brought that up?
No, just because it's the first thing on my mind. Yeah.
Which is the card game in Witcher. I'm like, apparently Kotaku just had an article about it, how unbelievable it's gotten. I'm curious to see. I skipped it every chance
TGS's,
I got.
TGS's, man. That's the new hotness.
I could.
You only need small teams, high profit.
Every chance I could skip that in the actual Witcher game.
All right, let's talk about some Overwatch. Because we never talk about it.
No. Why would we
let's
do that?
Let's talk about
so
Moira.
Silly.
Let's
Moira.
Bring that, let's bring
say.
That Moira
Who's
trailer
Moira?
Up. It's our new evil healer.
Did you just assume her alignment?
Yeah, because she's with Talon and Blackwatch.
She's straight up.
Yeah,
is evil.
Darkness.
This girl.
So Stacey, she hit the PTR today.
She did hit the
Tell
PTR
us a little
today.
Bit about how Moira plays.
Moira is fascinating in gameplay.
Go
so,
on.
So in PTR, you have two options. You can play regular quick play where Moira is insta-locked constantly, or you can do the free for all, which means you end up having 12 Moiras. Or usually 10 Moiras
and
two Torbjorns, which is a nightmare. But Moira, so she's going to make it really interesting in team play, and I can actually see her being used very regularly. She has... This bouncy ball of death is something else. So she shoots out, she can shoot out healing, or she can shoot out this ball of just pure destruction. Her ult is something
Shift
else, too.
Up.
Yeah, so this ball bounces around, and if it catches you, it just drains an unbelievable amount of health. Like, you're like, oh, well, get away from it as fast as possible. The way her beams work are very similar to Symmetra or Zarya, it seems.
Okay.
She kind of locks. She doesn't lock on quite as easily as Symmetra, but she has some reach. I have a feeling the reach is going to be adjusted before she hits the actual game, because right now it is pretty absurd how far away she can be and still hit you. We'll see, because they also put up the Mercy nerf on
what
PTR.
What did they nerf?
So now it is 1.25 seconds, 1.25 or 1.75 seconds to cast Resurrection. And she is slowed down 75% when she is rezzing.
Oh, you mean the animation time?
Yes.
Okay.
So now instead of an instant rez, she just runs in and you're up. You actually see a little screen that's like resurrecting and it counts down. And then you come back, which is very difficult. Which is very difficult for divas especially.
I'm sure.
Because you come back out of mech and you don't usually get back in that mech. Mm. But it really makes Mercy rethink like where she can rez and how she can rez. You can't swoop into the middle of battle anymore.
Right.
Where there's a lot of action going on and rez somebody because you won't get it off. She can be interrupted now by flashbangs, by any kind of movement. So,
oh, no, really?
Good.
Yeah, so,
ooh.
I mean... She was a bit overpowered before with the current
There's
way
no
that
way
it is.
To counterplay it.
Yeah, right.
Now if you're behind, if you die and you're like near a corner or someplace safe within your team and she can pick you up, great. But if you're running around like a madman, Mercy can't just swoop in instant Yeah. Res you with no counterplay, no way to stop her.
Right.
Even if you kill her, the res still goes off.
Right.
So I like it.
No, I mean, I do too, especially coming off of the games this weekend, the competitive Overwatch games that they played at BlizzCon.
Everybody
you had
Mercy.
To run a Mercy. If you weren't running a Mercy, you were out of luck during these games.
How does her ult affect the res time?
That I am not totally certain on. I think they have a similar... I don't think that it quickens it.
We got Robbie in chat. Yeah, her ult gets rid of the 1.75 and goes back to instant.
All right, there we go.
So good.
So she gets
that sounds
the,
like a fair
yeah.
balance.
Yeah, that's, fair.
Yeah. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I mean, it doesn't matter because I want to be playing Moira anyway because it seems like an evolution of... I love me some Zenny. I love me some Zenyatta.
Yeah.
But Mercy, I mean, she used to be the healer I picked the least until Ana showed up. Because I'm not accurate, and it took me like 3 shots to like heal somebody. But but yeah, Moira sounds like Zenyatta 2.0 in terms of what you get a chance
she's
to do.
She's kind of a fusion of like Zenyatta and Symmetra is how I feel. She's a lot of fun to play. She finding counters for her has been fun. She runs through quite a few characters.
I want to play.
It's been a lot of fun to kind of experiment with her, and you know I only got probably about an hour and a half to really play a couple of games, but so far she's going to make a very interesting addition. She's going to change the way that you play in a couple. Now no more rushing hallways because she sends that orb of death down a hallway. Oh boy. or she's got her ult in that hallway.
I also liked it looked like in her trailer that like it's the ball damage, but you could also do ball heal and send it with a rush.
Yes, so she's got one hand is her evil and one is the healing. So when you activate her E, her ability, you can either choose to send out the curse or you can send out the healing ball.
Okay, that's cool.
That is cool.
So you get a choice. And then
like
her
you could
regular...
be falling behind a little bit slow and just be like, and then like just send a little bit of healing out for a boost. That's cool.
Right.
That's cool.
Rad.
Speaking of changing the game and weird, hey, there's going to be a new map. Blizzard World is going to be Overwatch's newest map, and I believe we do have... No, we have... I think we have a video for that. That's for the character skins, so check the videos real quick, Steve. But yeah, it is a theme park-themed world based off of World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, StarCraft, and other Blizzard games lore.
Like you say weird.
That's
I love
it.
This.
No, yeah. It's really cool.
If this is their way of like prototyping how they're actually going to make this place, I'm super down.
But it's missing Overwatch.
Also super down.
But it's missing Overwatch.
That's the big surprise reveal.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're keeping.
That's why when you enter, they give you an Overwatch pin. They're like, you are Overwatch.
It looks so silly. It looks like so much fun. The amount of detail and you know just from watching a couple of people play through. Yeah. And
it's
I mean
Starwood. It looks so
Pylon Terrace, I'm about it. Yeah, Hearthstone Tavern.
The inside of the Hearthstone Tavern is just it's
so
great.
Good.
The jogger. I mean it's so good.
Lost and found Vikings.
Stormwood. Oh, I know.
Oh, I missed the Lost and Found Vikings. That's pretty great.
Yeah,
that's pretty
great.
Did you see the image for the Lost and Found Vikings?
There it is.
It's the three...
it's the Lost Vikings.
No, but it's that Travolta gif of him in... where he's like, you know, where he's like walking around?
Oh, yeah.
It's the three positions of him doing that.
That's
really?
Funny.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's funny. So it's going to be a combo map. It's going to be part Assault, part Payload, and it's going to be released early next year. So looking forward to that.
Nice.
So that's going to be fun. Now we can go back to that still, because they're going to be adding a whole bunch of skins just in regular loot boxes. No special events, no nothing. So let's take a look at these. We've got Black Hand...
Whoa, guys, hello? Hang on 1 second.
Hello?
Stephen the Booth here.
Hi,
what's
Steve?
Up, guys?
Wow.
Yeah. Am I seeing a StarCraft ghost in that lineup on the left there?
You might.
That's a Nova
that
Widow.
That is Nova Widowmaker.
There it is.
She was the next person I was going to say. We've got Blackhand Doomfist, Nova Widowmaker, that is Butcher Roadhog, I'm trying to look, and then up top middle is Crusader Reinhardt from the short Honoring Glory that released this past week. And then we've got, where is he? Magni, what? I don't know.
Magni.
Magni Bronzebeard
Magni
Torbjorn.
Bronzebeard.
Immortal, I skipped one. Barbarian Zarya, Immortal Orisa, and Eco Point May. So we've got two shorts. Echo Point? I say ego point, whatever. But we've got two based off of of the shorts.
The heartbreaking shorts.
Yeah, the two rip your soul to shreds. Two saddest ones. But or two sad ones, I should say. Mm-hmm. But all of those new skins are just gonna be a regular part of loot boxes. Great. No special event cool. for them.
And apparently all of the characters are getting skins as well as new voice lines and accessories and all kinds of things. So hopefully they...
Yeah, because, I mean, Blizzard World doesn't, like, fit into an event unless they create a new event for it. But either way, let's have theme parky, silly... Can we just have Junkrat in, like a mascot costume with, like, a giant head of himself?
Yes.
Let's do that. It.
All right.
Of himself? Even better.
Yeah, of himself. Yes. Yeah.
Just uh-huh. the giant head, too. Uh-huh. His body is just normal.
Yes.
Okay, where should we go from there? Let's go to some World of Warcraft news. Let's go with World of Warcraft Classic first.
Thank God.
No. I mean, this is big.
I know
you didn't play it.
I didn't. I need to understand why it's big.
So there have been fan servers of vanilla WoW.
Right.
Which kind of... So Blizzard went, hey, we want that money.
No.
No?
No. That's
Go
not
ahead.
What happened.
What
there
Tell
were
us.
Fan servers Tell of us. Vanilla WoW.
We're
and
shut
Blizzard said, hey,
down, right?
You can't
right.
do that.
I was going to say,
right.
that's a cease and desist.
And we went, come on, we really want this. And they went, no. And we said, come on, Blizz, please. And they said, no, fuck you. And then eventually they met with some of the people who developed the biggest one, Nostradamus. And the people from Nostradamus are like, hey, like they met and talked with us. We're thank glad that they talked with us, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They might be working on some things. They might not. So all this was like a year and a half ago. So they thought maybe at last year's BlizzCon that this was going to be announced along with Legion. It was not. They didn't say anything.
Right.
So I had kind of forgot about it. I just assumed that they were not going to do it.
Right.
So it was a nice surprise to hear them announce it officially.
I heard they said, and they'd sold those shards of the original servers, right? They'd actually sold those off and give them out as a thank you for people who'd like had like 10 plus years of subscription. And I heard the joke was they're like, guys, so we're going to need those back.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty great. But why is it a big deal? Like, why? What's the appeal of just like a vanilla instance?
I mean, a lot of it is nostalgia. I'm kind of torn on it because I played Classic also into BC. And, you know, I have a lot of fun memories. I made a lot of fun friends. There's a lot of community and things that I miss about it. But also there's a lot of, you know, from quality of life changes to balance changes that I think a lot of people are not remembering.
That's why I was curious.
And, like, the initial time sync required, even just to get to level cap in the first game, is crazy. There's literally not enough quests.
Right.
You have to like grind and you have to run dungeons and stuff just to get to cap.
Sure.
Then you gotta grind resistances and, you know, the first raid MC is a 40-man raid, so you have to actually get 40 people together regularly just to grind the first boss so you can even get enough gear to get on to the next boss. So there's a lot of things that I think people are not going to remember. I think it's going to come out and it's going to have huge numbers and then it's going to dwindle down to the core group of people that really, really want the game. Because there is definitely something rewarding about a game that really does require you to put the time in.
Sure.
When you finally get it, you feel rewarded and things of that nature, as opposed to playing the game now. Whereas I feel like they've kind of gone over the balance of playing towards people who don't have a lot of time, because now, you know, if you are an elitist or whatever and you put a lot of time into it, it's too easy to get everything. It doesn't feel rewarding.
But also, so they didn't give a date on this. They just said, hey, this is going to take some time, but we're working on it. Maybe they're adding those minor back end quality of life things.
But then it's not vanilla WoW.
Right.
But then will people want?
Right.
That's my question. So, like, I can see why they may do some balance things in some nature, but I don't know if the core group that really wants this, I don't know if they're going to be okay with
that. I wanted to know. I was like, I think, like, going back and revisiting some of these things, like, nostalgia is always better, like, in retrospect, right? Like, when you actually go revisit games or... What the hell? Like, I remember relationships way more fondly than I probably should. Like, when you go back and revisit some of these things, they aren't like what you remembered.
Yeah.
And I think, like, so I was confused when I saw this, like, and I was like,
especially games like this that, you know, have so many balance patches and stuff because certain things are overpowered or certain things get exploited and figured out. So when you start rolling back these patches, people are already talking on Reddit about, like, well, not going to roll a paladin because it's going to be useless. I'm just going to roll warrior and roll arms and then just cut people in half in PvP because that's what they did back then.
Which they've eliminated.
Well, there's no battlegrounds.
Okay.
And at least it depends on which patch they go with. If it, you know.
Because yeah, I just said that was one of the one of the bullets, right? Like they announced, right? They've gotten away from PvP and World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
So.
In the end. Well, that has to do with the new expansion that they announced.
Oh. Okay.
Which we can go into right now.
Great.
Let's go to World of Warcraft: Battle for Azeroth. There's a lot of shit in this. So this is the opening cinematic. They released it.
You heard was it hitting his veins.
Basically.
Well, I will say, anytime there's been an announcement for a new expansion, even though I've got little to no experience with WoW, it's remarkable. Anytime Blizzard Entertainment has a cinematic of any kind, whether it's an Overwatch short or something that's directly attached to a game, it's awe-inspiring, beautiful, and something that makes you go, oh crap, I want to play this.
Yeah.
So, no matter what it is, and this is no exception. So this, you're back to choosing Horde and Alliance.
Listen, he's so jonesy. He's a junkie. This is why I never
started.
This is like...
They say it every time they put out a new cinematic. It's the best one they've ever done. But man,
it's real good.
The lighting in this and the armor designs, and when Sylvanas goes all banshee and just like, Little Prince Anduin and his island is armor now, and with all the lions, and now he's like a man.
So I've never played WoW, and I've never done Blow, and for similar reasons, because I will love them way too much, and I will have a problem immediately with both of them.
I have to say, after watching, and this,
I want to say that I'm not going to play, but I'm going to play.
You're definitely going to play.
I'm going to play.
After this is really weird to say, and you're probably going to hate me for saying it, I followed what you were saying, even from just watching the World of Warcraft movie.
Is that true?
A little bit.
All right.
I know Anduin. Yeah,
you know what you're talking about. I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
End of sentence.
Like, why just give me an hour and a half of this?
No, I agree.
And
I'm into it.
I'll give you all my money, all of it.
So in this, there are new races: the High Mountain Tauren, Void Elves, Dark Iron Dwarves, and others.
They're kind of like sub races.
Okay, yeah. Each with unique abilities. You can plunder the islands of the Great Sea. Charge into war fronts. They're 20-player cooperative war fronts to claim a key strategic location. It's like PvE inspired by classic Warcraft's RTS battles.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
You can infuse your armor with titanic might with Azerite, which is... You imbue the Heart of Azeroth, a legendary neck piece entrusted to each hero by Magnite Bronzebeard, with Azerite to customize your armor with new power and traits. They up the level cap to 120, and you get an instant boost to 110. And here's interesting: is they seem to be implementing communities a little bit more. They made this as a selling point on the bullets. Join up with WoW players who share common interests in persistent cross-realm communities. Share these strategies with members of your class. Fraternize with auction house magnates. Talk shop with fellow tailors and expand your social circles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of already been around.
Oh, look at that little boy. Look at him.
He's a man now.
Okay. I mean,
He says... Dad, I don't want to be a paladin.
I want to be
a priest. Oh, Anduin used mass resurrect. It was super effective,
dude. It looks so cool.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Stop.
somebody stop. Send help.
So we don't have to show the trailer, but there was a really cool reveal of Alexstrasza.
It's really cool until you watch that cinematic and you realize that the Hanzo animations are the exact same Hanzo animations from the duel.
Yeah, the short.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's just new Hanzo stuff. But even
You can't do a cinematic like this and then reuse
true things like assets.
That. Yeah. Like you can't set the bar that high.
Alexstrasza and Hanzo are gonna be joining Heroes of the Storm. Alexstrasza is gonna be debuting next week, whereas Hanzo is gonna debut in December.
Okay.
Hanzo has all of the same abilities that he has. I mean some of the Hots stuff and abilities are really cool, but The last thing, yeah, you don't have to play it. It's fine. But
it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, that's not even the short. That's the just the actual gameplay stuff that they
oh,
get.
Cool.
I'm gonna skip it. They announced a lot of stuff about the Overwatch League, and there's a lot of money involved and a lot of matches involved. Holy shit, is there a lot of money involved? Oh my gosh, and everybody's gonna get health insurance. By being an esports player, good for them. But we've got over the course of a couple of weeks, we've had all of our teams announced. The Atlantic Division is going to be the Boston Uprising, the Florida Mayhem, the Houston Outlaws, the London Spitfire, the New York Excelsior, and the Philadelphia Fusion. The Pacific Division is going to include the Dallas Fuel, Los Angeles Gladiators, Los Angeles Valiant, San Francisco Shock, the Seoul Dynasty, and the Shanghai Dragons.
Indeed.
Yeah. So
this is now the Valiant sign.
You're starting a thing. Started here.
hands go up. But either way,
I might workshop that. Yeah.
There's a lot.
A little bit.
There's going to be some exhibition matches December 6th through the 9th.
Tickets went on sale about an hour ago.
Damn it.
Yeah.
So yeah, do yourself a favor. But the last, I mean, there's a. I have like a page worth of details that is just sad to me. Because the fact that these folks...
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. Their regular season placement bonuses altogether about $1.3 million. Whereas the championship playoff placement bonuses are about $1.7 million.
There you go.
And that doesn't include the health insurance. Anyway, there's some cool stuff coming out this week. So let's talk about that real quick. Football Manager 2018. And that's about it.
Thank God! Finally!
Wow.
No, but Mario Party, the top 100.
Okay.
Awesome. I wish that was coming out for the Switch because there's some amazing Mario Party minigames there. Need for Speed Payback.
Man, can you believe that is coming out? I haven't seen anything on that since E3. Right?
Right?
It's crazy.
It's
nothing.
What are they
going to
show
game.
You?
I don't know. Maybe some Fast and the Furious wannabe stuff. I don't care, but something.
But Fast and the Furious already has to deal with
buried. I know.
That's unfortunate. Also coming out, Sonic Forces.
Ooh, I heard that was where you just can a
create,
dumpster fire.
Where you can create your own Sonic character.
I've heard that's real bad.
What?
Yeah, you can create your own Sonic OC. You didn't know that?
Who asked that?
It's coming out for PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch.
On the internet? I've seen all of the Sonic OCs because it is a world.
There are four
stuff of nightmares.
Definitely avoid that.
You can pick four different character types that have four different abilities that
can
do different things. I'm selling him on it, but
no.
Neo is coming out for the PC, so now the PC folks can get a hold of that. But the most important thing that's coming out this week is Doom for the Nintendo Switch.
Are you gonna pick that up? You are.
If I didn't have to spend hundreds of dollars on tires today, I probably would have.
Super interested to see what that looks like.
Me too,
running.
Actually.
Because that game is about the fidelity and the speed and that silky smooth 60 frames a second and I don't know how, whatever. Like, I'm optimistic and I'm glad it's coming to the Switch. I'm not like, but I just can't imagine that is the optimal way to play that game.
It can run Skyrim.
Yeah, I put my TI like 99 can run Skyrim. I feel like at this point, like you can run everything runs that.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's getting a PSVR bundle.
Bundle, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's coming on the Apple Watch next year.
It is, definitely. I'll play a great way to play the game, I feel like.
That's coming to ASCII soon.
Stacy's reading the books. She's like, oh, God.
I can't.
Just so many books.
Read them to me.
Zoom in.
People are trying to
Zoom
talk
in.
To me, and I'm like reading books on it.
Beautiful.
That's
gonna do it for us, man. Yeah, man. We got it. Thank you, Steve.
Man.
Sorry, that wasn't supposed to sound indignant. I love you. So let's wrap up to let the folks know where they can find you on the social medias and what you're gonna be playing this week. Patrick,
find me Truly Slide. I'm gonna be I'll be tweeting about the Xbox One X. Not doing an unboxing, but
you're not gonna wait till next week to unbox it.
No. But my favorite thing is like getting a console and like being part of like where things are weird and like broken. So if you have Xbox One X questions about UI or any of that nonsense, hit me up. I'm at Truly Slide and on your console of choice. And Pete of the D's on Twitter.
Stacy.
Guys, Stacy Shuttles. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at Stacy Shuttles or on PS Network at Seriously Siri. I'm going to be continuing to play Assassin's Creed throughout the week and Wolfenstein 2. Also
playing Assassin's Creed.
But first, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah!
Wildlands.
Oh, that's right.
That comes out tonight.
Tonight.
So I am here for that.
No.
Hey, Nate. Are you going to be doing anything other than Destiny 2?
No, I'm not. I might play some Hearthstone. Actually, I think I'm going to play some PUBG this week. I think, yeah.
Yeah,
you gotta teach us good.
Yeah, find me on the interwebs everywhere at DogLikeNate, and let's play some Destiny.
Yeah,
I might give Hearthstone a try too. I downloaded it.
Yeah,
just
we can play, and I'll
annihilate me.
It's all RNG.
Make sure to follow us here on Twitch, or if you're watching us on YouTube, follow us on Twitch at InventoryFullPT. That is where we stream games. Stacey's been a champ in streaming Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to stream Mario, but I kind of want to just to complain about it a little bit more.
I'd watch that.
Do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to stream some Crucible this week, and I think I'm going to stream some raid runs, too.
Oh, awesome.
Cool. Right. Make sure you follow us there for that. Go to Into the AM. Use the code INVENTORY10 to get 10% off on your order. Follow me on Twitter, @MRPDonica. We're going to be playing a lot of stuff in this upcoming season, and we're going to try to find ways to be able to talk more to you, the viewer. So please follow us at InventoryFullPT and all of our individual Twitters to get more information on that as it happens. But until next time, thank you for watching. We'll see you in the, I don't know, Blizzard world?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
I'll go there.
This is Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.